It's easier one. Now, here are some errors. Here are some things that are wrong. Israel tempted and provoked Elam to wrath by saying, "Can God provide a table in the wilderness?" I'm going to tell you how to tempt. I'm going to tell you right now how to tempt El Elyon. All you have to do is say, "Can God heal something as bad as this?" Will God take care of us? Can God get me a job? You see what I'm doing? You try that and you're tempting God as they did at Meribah. Are you following me on this? And it says, don't you ever tempt God. Don't you ever say, can God do anything? Always say, God can. All right, let's try it another way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the very door of the fiery furnace turned to the kings and the king's servants and said, O king, live forever. We serve the Most High God, and he can deliver us from this fiery service, from the fiery furnace. Whether he will or not, we don't know. That's a paraphrased quote, but that's what they were saying. But they said, well, we're not sure whether he will, but he can. We want you to know that he can. He can deliver us from the fiery furnace. Don't you ever say, can he? Are you clear on this? Don't ever say this is too hard for God. Don't ever say anything, or you're provoking and you're tempting him. I'm going to say that again 3 or 4 times. Don't you ever say, can he? Always say, he can. Don't get your two words mixed up. He can. He can do this. Now, whether he will or not, it's all right for you to say, I don't know if it's will. You know, how many understand this now? I don't know whether it's his will for this or that, the other thing. Now, there are some things that you know is his will. By his stripes we're healed. All right. He came to bring a life, and that more abundantly. All right. There are some things we know is his will because he came to do it. Now, if he came to do it, that settles it. We don't have to worry about those things. It's those other things that we're not quite sure of. There is a sin unto death. I say not that thou should pray for it. Come on, you faith people. How many have heard you ought to pray for everyone and it's God's will for everybody to be healed? How many have heard that? Well, that's against what Paul said. Come on. Paul didn't say that. He said, yes, by his stripes we are healed, but there is a sin that's unto death, and I say not you should pray for that one. Come on, nod your head now. Tell him. Don't act like you're mad. I'm teaching Bible now. Now, in other words, there are things that we're going to pray for. Well, how do you know the sin that's unto death and the sin that's not unto death? The only way I know is to treat them all as though they're not unto death. Israel tempted and provoked God. Now, this is also important. Israel, Ephraim, would not exalt El Elyon. I'm going to prophesy to you. You are going to discover that there will be people that you are sharing these with who will refuse to exalt El Elyon. So let's get this point. We are children and servants of El Elyon. Psalm 82, John 10, Luke 6, and Acts 16. We are the children of Elohim and the servants of El Elyon. It didn't really exactly say that on your paper, but that's what it says in John, in Psalm. We're the children of Elohim and the servants of El Elyon. And another place we'll find out that we're the children of El Elyon as well. We're to pay our vows to El Elyon, Psalm 50. Now, a vow is a promise to do for or give to God. I would be very, very sensitive and careful about making vows to God. I've just discovered, and though I should have known it, that in making a vow to God, Abraham lifted his hand. So in making promises, sometimes we shake hands, don't we? Okay, then shake hands with God. And when you're making your promise, lift your hand. And tonight, as part of our prayer, we're going to lift our hands to El Elyon. Now watch it. One of the problems is that not everyone will exalt El Elyon. And we find what happened to those guys in Hosea. We're to pay our vows to him. And when I say pay our vows, don't get fidgety. I'm not going to start putting you under, ties to Ebal and that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. Not any in that realm at all. That'll be later. But I want to warn you. Don't make an empty vow to El Elyon. Are you hearing me? Don't promise. You. How many know that there are lots of prayers issued in the foxhole? Now, you know what I'm talking about, foxhole prayers. Now, be very, very sensitive about those things. When you are in a position of terror, a position of worry, a position of fright, a position of, you know, these things, watch your vows while you're praying to El Elyon. Raise your hand, unless you're in the foxhole, but and we'll teach some prayers, that kind of thing. But let's be very, very careful and very sensitive that in this trade-off between us and El Elyon, that we're not trading off some very foolish things. How many understood that? Remember that nut in the book of Judges who said, if God will give me the victory, then I will give him the first thing comes out of the door of my house when I get home. You remember? And I called him a nut, too, because you know what came out? His darling daughter. And it says he had to slit her in the gizzard because, you know, he killed her, sacrificed her. And so, in other words, the vow to God is taken extremely seriously. Are you follow me in this realm? So let's be very, very careful about, Lord, if you save my wife, you know, she's in the hospital. If you save the life of my wife, I'll give you our children. I think that's a very ignorant vow. You know what I'm talking about? I would be very, very careful and very sensitive about praying and making a vow, especially with all of the conditions that we've been studying here tonight. Okay? Next thing. Servants of El Elyon overcome death. Somebody praise the Lord with me for a minute. Listen, here's what it says in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, O servants of the Most High God, come forth and come out of there. He said, I never saw anything like it before in my life. Here are three people that are in a burning fiery furnace, and the fire does not touch them. They don't hurt them. They're walking, and there's a fourth man in there, and he's like unto the Son of God. You remember that story? Now, that's El Elyon. Speaks right out and tells you his name is El Elyon, servants. And then you start studying, find out Melchizedek, power of an endless life. Jesus Christ overcame the last enemy, which is death. And all the servants of El Elyon overcome the last enemy, which is death. Now, the Bible says Jesus died once for every man, right? Okay, if Jesus died once for every man, then let's follow the pattern. But in order to follow the pattern, don't you see, you and I have been raised that in order to achieve these goals, it would be necessary for us to attend here, to be on time there, to give this. How many know what I'm talking about? And traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, and ordinances, all good things to find favor with Yahweh. That's the hard part. But in order to find favor with El Elyon, our favor has already been found. It's through Jesus Christ. And so now we find, not only in Hebrews 7, it's the power of an endless life, it says, for the priesthood being changed, there is also of necessity a change of the law. Did you hear that? There is also a change of the law. So, if that didn't make sense, let me go back and do it again. When Abraham knew El Shaddai, remember? God, Abraham's God was El Shaddai. Abraham's God was not Yahweh. That's your Exodus 6, 2 and 3 scripture. Elohim said, I'm Yahweh to you, Moses, but unto Abraham and Jacob I was El Shaddai. So therefore, El Shaddai didn't have any rules about how to take care of your wife. How many wondered how Abraham ever got away with sending Sarah to the... Come on, all that kind of stuff. A couple of girls wondered about that. Well, don't you see? Those were not laws because when there was a new religion, there was also a new God and a new law. Catch that? And whenever our concept of God changes to a magnificent, large amount, then his name changes. He's always the same God. Did you hear this? It's always the same God. But his name and nature changes and his law changes. Okay, now, if our concept has gone from Yahweh through to the Creator into the El Elyon, how many understand that the laws have changed? And Jesus only gave us four and Ptolemaic commandments. Only four laws, and that's a two-hour lesson that I gave you a while back. I won't take the time to that right now, but there are only four things that we are commanded to do now. Moses 613 have changed to JC4. Only four things that we are commanded to do. Servants of El Elyon overcome death, and the saints of El Elyon take and possess the kingdom. And I beheld until the saints took and possessed the kingdom. You remember that? And then the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I wish that we had time to read these scriptures in Daniel chapter 7, verses 18, 22, 25, and 27. I don't like the 25th verse, but there it is, so I have to leave it in. But anyway, the scriptures indicate that the saints will win. Now, if the saints win, that also means the saints have been in a fight, battle. And so they will win. Now, turn your paper over, please. Prayer to El Elyon is the highest order. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus became a priest after Melchizedek, who was the priest of El Elyon, through the order of Melchizedek, a higher order. Now, here's one that's a little hard, and not everybody's ready to accept this, so I'm going to have to do it again tonight. Even unclean spirits prayed. Demons pray. Did you know that? Unclean spirits pray, and they pray in the name of Elohim. So let's read this together, because it's very important to grab this concept. I'm in Mark chapter 7, Mark 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 7. I'll start with 1. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked by him, and fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of El Elyon? I adjure thee by... You got it. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of... Watch it. Look here. Watch me. El Elyon, I adjure thee by Elohim that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What's thy name? And so forth. Now I'm emphasizing name because over and over again, the name had a tremendous importance in the power. How many understand that? Even now in exorcism, we try to discover the name. Did you ever wonder about Jacob wrestling with an angel all night just so he could discover his... I mean, why wrestle all night? Well, if you're not going to tell me, run down the street, buddy. You know, name, Puddin'-tane, ask me again, I'll tell you the same. But no, he said, and he wrestled, and he said, I will not let you go until you tell me there's something special about knowing the name. Now, in this case, the demon adjured him. I looked at the word adjured, and adjured, when the demon adjured him, it means that he, he set a limit. He set a limit by an oath. I adjure you, I set your limits. It's kind of like you can't cross this line. Or you must be here by a certain time. You set limits with contracts and oaths, so forth. I adjure you by the name of the Creator God, Elohim. Now, why did the demon have the right to adjure him by Elohim? Say it. The demon was created by... Now, we're not ready for that one either, so let's try that again. A lot of folks say, just a minute, demons were created by devil. Oh, no. The devil was created by Elohim, and the demons were created by Elohim. Let's read it together. Someone find Isaiah 45:7. Read that to me, please. And while someone's reading that, someone else go to Deuteronomy 32, 36 through 42. That's this one right here. We're We just skipped over right now. We're in this scripture section right here. Isaiah 45 and Deuteronomy 32, right here.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
So I create peace, I create evil, I do all these things. Now give it to me in Deuteronomy to see what's going on, and then we'll try to, I hope we can put it all together. Who's got it?
For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he that there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever.
That pretty well settles it. That pretty well settles it. Now, most of us don't want to believe that. Now, here's the manner in which he does it, which is just a little bit tricky. How many know that God is good and can't kill anybody? God is a creator. The very word, watch me, the very word Elohim means to create. A creator, it's a masculine feminine word. It means, I'm taking the masculine Yahweh, the feminine El Shaddai, it's a plural word. Let us create man in our own, you know, plural. And everything God ever did was creative. But how many understand that at times it's necessary in creation to remove things that are in the way? Even in healing, how many know it takes a surgeon to remove that which offends? Now, most surgeons by now will agree that they've never brought any healing to anybody, but they do remove the offense. And then God brings the healing. Now, here's the thing. God cannot remove an offense. Now, this is a little hard for you. So he created a destroyer. He created a waster. How many understand that? So then, Satan, there was a day when the sons of God appeared before God. Job 1:6, Job 2:8. And there appeared also Satan. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, oh yeah, flesh for flesh, let me tell you. Hey, you let me after him for a while. Now, would you admit that the pattern is fixed, that you cannot be attacked by Satan until the top boss gives the okay? Is that, now that's a little hard for everybody, you know, it's, some of us haven't been taught that in Sunday school. Satan, now this is hard for some, is a tool of God to remove the offense, to attack us in our Achilles heel, to show us where we're weak, to remove, you know, to change that. Now, I'm not saying that all surgeons are satanic, but I am saying that Satan approaches like a surgeon with a knife in his hand to remove that offense, to destroy, to waste. Now, did God tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, throw down, cast out, pluck out, then plow, plant, and build? What's that mean? God cannot throw down. God cannot cast out. God cannot pluck out. So he sends others to do his work, to attack us where that work is necessary. Then God brings the healing. Okay? Now let's go back to this other thing. We've got that pretty well under our belts, I guess. So let's do this again. This, oh, I see. That's all right. We'll get closer all the time here. El Elyon is the highest order, and the unclean spirit in Mark 7, also Luke 8, but we won't go to there, prayed in the name of Elohim. Now, he prayed in the name of Elohim because that unclean spirit, that demon, was created by Elohim. What do we find? Elohim did create devils for his purpose. Yahweh and El Shaddai, acting in concert as masculine and feminine forces in Elohim, did create E-V-E-R-Y thing, everything that was created, including good and evil. We give you those scriptures. Yahweh said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. The devils created by Elohim did adjure, that is to set a limit by an oath, Jesus. They said, we adjure you, Jesus, you cannot come beyond this because we are created by God, Elohim, and we have a right to be doing this. But they met the superior power. Jesus proved that even though devils were created by Elohim God for a purpose, nonetheless, there was a higher purpose. Somebody praise the Lord and get Pentecostal. We have a higher order within the Godhead. Jesus commanded those devils in the name of Elion, his father. They had to obey because their oath was in the name of Elohim, their creator. Now, in saying this, did I say Elohim was lower than El Elyon? I have always been very careful. I don't want to do that. I want to magnify the Lord. I want to make it bigger. I want to say there are orders within the Godhead, but never an inferior order. Always a superior order. Are you hearing me on this? But, you know, to say there is no inferior order, there is always a superior order, it's just a little bit hard. But if your mind thinks that way, you'll come out right. That's all I can tell you. So, think that way. Think in as superior order. There was a superior order. Jesus commanded in the name of his Father, El Elyon, the Most High God, and they had to obey. Somebody praise the Lord. They had to obey. Therefore, if we're sons of God, children of El Elyon, then we pray to our Most High God. And don't you understand? All creation. Winds and waves. Demons. The works. There is nothing. Now, one of our problems is we have been praying to the God that we used to worship through putting pennies in the Sunday school bank, birthday offerings. Now, nobody actually said so, but they certainly implied that coming to Sunday school and putting the pennies in the birthday offering would be pleasing to God. God would therefore respond to us because we were doing something nice for Him. Come on. Whether it was actually articulated, it was certainly implied. And we got those ideas from our religious environment. Now, we got those ideas because our religious environment was more oriented toward Yahweh than it was toward El Elyon. Now, in El Elyon, the work's done. Can I say the bank's full? No more pennies, there's no more room, it's all done. The work is finished. It is finished, he said. You remember that? I'm going back to my Father. And the Bible told us twice that he went to El Elyon, not Yahweh. Okay, now, I'm going to read this. Now I'm ready for Numbers. Come back over here to the book of Numbers, chapter 24, please. Numbers 24. In Numbers 24, we're with Balaam and Balak. And I'm quoting a scripture, if Balak would give me his whole house. And that's in 24, what was it, 13? I'm going to read it here. In 24:13, I'm not going to read it from the chart. I think I did it right. Now, this is Balaam speaking, and he's speaking of Balak. Balak is the king of the Moabites. Balaam is the prophet. Balaam says, if Balak, the king of the Moabites, would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord. Either to do either good or bad of my own. What's the next word I'm looking for? M-I-N-D. How many have heard me time and time again teach you the differences in prophecies out of the soul and spirit? And I cannot prophesy out of my own mind. He says, I cannot do that out of my mind. If I do this out of my mind, it will not work. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And it's not in this one. I didn't underline it. But later on he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should turn around. Use the word repent, which I feel is an unfortunate selection of words there. What's he saying? Well, this is what he said. In verse 16, he took up this parable in verse 15, and he said, he who heard the words of El, see this? Heard the words of God. I know it says God there, but it's El. I heard the words of El. I knew the knowledge of Elyon, and I saw the visions of El Shaddai. Now, friends, when you can make these divisions, you're getting ready to move in the supernatural realm of Balaam. The ability to see things, to have foreknowledge, to reach out, to hear, to have contact. But you notice, he was kind of careful and he said, I heard El, I knew El Elyon, and I saw El Shaddai. In other words, there are certain kind of responses from various phases of the Godhead, and he said, I understand this and I know it. Come on now, nod your head. See, I know it, I can see it. There are various ways to approach God. He was a prophet and he knew it. David was a prophet and he knew it. So you'll find David saying praises to Yahweh and singing praises to El Elyon. Are you following me on this? And always the pattern, once it's established, it's repeated over and over and over again. Because these patterns are back in Genesis, Exodus, carried all the way to Revelation, but we lost them because of the corruption of the Scriptures. Did you hear this? Through this corruption of the names of God, none of us ever noticed any of this kind of stuff. Come on, tell the truth. I'm teaching, I guess we've taught at least 100, maybe 200 people, different families in the last 2 weeks, four weeks now, and not a one of them had heard the death. Now, once in a while, I'm sure you've heard the Messorites, Macedonia, and that kind of stuff. But the depths of which we've gone today, no one saw, no one knew. It just wasn't there. But it's there. It's been there all the time. But it's time for the Holy Ghost to shine the illumination of understanding of the Spirit again on another secret of the Word that's been locked up in the Bible for over 5,000 years. Did you hear that? There it is. It's all there. You can check it out. Go look up those words yourself. Just take $18 or $22 and go down and get a Strong's Concordance and do that. And any one of you can take your Bible and Strong's Concordance and do what I did. All you need is about 3 years on a desert island. So go ahead and do that, and you'll find out the whole story is exactly, you know, word for word, what we gave you there. But in the event that you don't have the time, I've given you the papers. And now you can check out a few of those things, like quality control, and say, well, if he's that right on most of them, he's probably right on the others. And then, you know, you get to check which ones you want. But the point I'm trying to get at is that we are coming to a change. And we've got to see these differences in El Elyon, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, and all the rest. Because there is a difference in response when we hear, when we see, when we know. How many? Others create, some destroy, some have never destroyed. Do you hear what I'm doing on this? You just don't find the mother El Shaddai ever destroying. It's always the daddy. If you don't understand what that means, it means, listen here, son, I ain't going to whip you, but you wait till your daddy gets home. I haven't understood that. All right, well, then that's it's the same thing. And so it's daddy who wounds and, of course, daddy who heals. And on it goes. Now, it's mother who provides, however. Did you catch that? So if we're looking for a provision, suppose that you're out and you're driving and you've just run out of gasoline and you need some power for the automobile. Where does a person like this now, who is understanding the various phases, where do you expect to get provision? the provider. The provider of milk and water and force and power. The mother El Shaddai is the provider. So then, if you need provision and you're out of it, you ran out of provision, who do you call on? Mama, in this realm. Let's back off. How many understand we're all approaching God in the name of Jesus Christ? Now, we're not saying we have to memorize these in any way. I'm not saying don't memorize them. But at least understand that there are various attributes of the Godhead. And those attributes of the Godhead act differently. Come on, tell the truth. How many of you have wondered how God, in His loving, wonderful, tremendous, providing way, could kill 185,000 men in one night? Come on, tell the truth. It's just, you know, they're backward. But when you begin to see you're dealing with different natures of the same God, then it starts to make sense. And we gave the example a while back, a few days ago, that I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a Bible teacher, I'm a, well, former supervisor of engineers. I was an engineer for a long time, then a supervisor. So each person knows me differently, right? Now, they even call me by different names, right? Now, and as I am addressed by different names, I also have different laws. And my laws to the different people I deal with are according to the name they call me. Some people recognize this and try to change my name. Well, we ever noticed that or not. But as a supervisor, there were those who were trying to get on the good side of Dave. But it was Mr. Ebaugh that laid the law down. How many understood that? As a supervisor over Dan. So what I'm trying to say is that it's according to, as we change our relationship to the person we're dealing with, then the name changes, the law changes, and we're going to say the temple changes, the altar changes. Now, these are some more clues of future lessons that we'll be coming into. The change of the temple, the change of the altar, the whole thing changes as the religion changes, as the relationship, as the relationship with our God changes. Okay? Now, you have a problem. I've spoken to you for 6 hours for the last 3 weeks on one subject. And a year ago, I gave you the introduction to it in the Melchizedek tape. Remember that? And we covered that whole thing from beginning to end on Melchizedek in moving into this. And here's your problem. The first thing you found out is hard to share. Now, the reason this is hard to share, you have told things to people. You have told some marvelous children some secrets of adulthood. Yeah, you figured that out. Yeah, and they threw it back because it was too much. There are certain things that we do not tell our children. How many understand that? They're true, they're wholesome, they're moral, they're ethical. They're just not talked about. Now, this kind of thing that I'm discussing right now can only be discussed with someone who asks questions. I'm going to say it again. In the Bible, and throughout all of the Jewish literature that I can find, teachers only taught the answers to questions. And in dealing in a synagogue, they would say, Rabbi, tell us this, and Rabbi, tell us that. And then the rabbi would give his lecture. There are those who teach, there are some secrets so secret that you're only allowed to talk the secret to those who already know the secret. That gets a little hard to tell somebody to find out that they know. And I believe that we're on to some things like this right now. The names of God, the natures of God, the powers of the names and the natures. And so, in dealing with our society, it's best that we don't say these words, El Elyon, Yahweh, El Shaddai. Well, you might get away with Yahweh now and then because that's already found its interest into our vocabulary a few places. Yahweh or Yahweh, but even when you do that, how many notice There are some areas when you say Yahweh or Yahweh that you all, it's like rubbing the cat the wrong direction. Even some societies right now. So I wouldn't recommend that we do this. I wouldn't recommend that you take this back and teach all the kids in Sunday school what we've been talking about tonight or the last three times. But I'm going to say this. I believe that you're onto something. Now, is there anybody here that has an unction that churns within him and says, we're onto something? We're onto something. Something's going on. I'm seeing some things. Pieces of a puzzle come together that I never saw fit before. And this is coming from 200 people, not in this alone, but around that we're traveling. And the reason for it is that you first know the question and now you know the answer. Some of the younger ones don't know the question. And so we have to teach them that first. Now, you don't know all the answers. You've only had one complete picture of the names, and you've only had one exhaustive study of El Elyon. You've got to have an exhaustive study of Elohim, an exhaustive study of Yahweh. But don't you know what that does? That's thousands and thousands of more scriptures. I don't think you have time. The El Shaddai, we could take that easy because there's not that many scriptures. We could do an exhaustive thing on that. We could do an exhaustive thing on the Eloah. And that's about it. I do not have the power, the capability within my physical or mental capacity to do an exhaustive study on Yahweh or an exhaustive study on Elohim. But I can on El Shaddai and I can on Eloah. And we have on El Elyon. But I think you've got enough already that from now on, every time you read the name God, you're going to say, who, what? You know what I'm talking about? You're going to start questioning, and you're going to say, there's more to this than meets the eye. And furthermore, whenever you pray, you're going to have trouble for a little while until you can get settled and come on back and say, well, it's really not anything pronunciation and that kind of thing. But I'm going to pray tonight, and I'm going to pray tonight the way I've prayed in times past. And I know for years you've heard me pray, Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. For years you've heard me say, we know you are the great creator. I'm going to do that again. Because for years you've heard me say these things, and maybe some of you wondered what it was about. But in saying those words, I said, Most High God, I didn't tell you El Elyon. Now, the truth of the matter is, I have known what I was talking about, but selected not to say it. And why? I hadn't built foundational truths yet. Now, if I were here tonight and prayed to, O El Elyon, thou Elohim, you'd know what I was talking about. But last year, you wouldn't have. Now, we're praying, O Most High God, Creator of heaven and earth, you brought the creative forces. How many understand? The masculine and feminine creative forces into play, and you brought forth the Eloah to come upon us and cause these changes that we're asking for. Now, in certain realms, we will ask El Elyon to have Yahweh bring healing. We'll ask El Elyon to have El Shaddai bring provision. How many understand this? Because we're following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the priest of El Elyon. So we're going to ask El Elyon in the name of Jesus to have the Creator create situations so that our children can get jobs. You see what I'm talking about? And until they can get jobs, we're going to ask El Elyon to tell El Shaddai to provide for them with welfare or whatever, you know, whatever the other thing is. But we're going to ask El Elyon to have the Elohim create a job, create the situation, so they can work and get off the dole. You see, those kind of things. Now, in talking that way, we do not in any way, we're not trying to be superior, and we're not putting all this superiority air or complex and saying, you poor guys down the street. You understand that? But it's been our experience so far in trying out these prayer methods. They work. They work. It's just as simple. They work. It's very practical. You find something that works? You buy it. You use it. You get a hold of it. You grab it. Sometimes we know not what we ought to pray. Your son just got a draft notice. Now, some of you know that you want to pray against it. Come on. And some of you are not quite sure. Come on, tell the truth. Some of you don't know whether it would be God's will for him to get drafted. Come on. I'm not trying to be a Mennonite here in this case. That's another subject. But I'm trying to say there are situations of life that we don't know what's best. And we could be praying against really what is God's will and what is really best for those children. Now, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it very sensitively. I have always prayed in marriage cases where there's a marriage problem, I have always prayed that God would heal that marriage. I have always prayed that God would heal the marriage. Then, in certain cases where a die is cast and it is obvious that there is going to be no healing. How many understand that? Things change. And so, sometimes we just don't know how to pray, do we? And other times we think we do and we're wrong. Now, there's nobody here that's ever done that. Just known what was the will of God, and we were wrong about it. And God didn't do what we asked him to do, and later on, it was proven to be a whole lot better, and we're glad that he didn't do what we asked him to do. There comes a time in our maturity when we almost get afraid to pray. And, you know, get specific about things. I don't know whether you're that way or not yet, but there are times in our maturity we absolutely know what God's will is about everything. Remember that. And you knew exactly, you know, how everything should be solved. In fact, there was absolutely no question. If those people would just come to our Sunday school, it'd fix everything. Remember those days? Or if they'd come to our church, or on and on it went, you know. And we had an answer for everything. And then as you matured, you began to say, well, you know, that's really not the whole thing. Now, in this realm, we cannot guarantee that you're going to know right from wrong. But we can guarantee that if you have at least a familiarity with this basic pattern, draw it the way you want to if you don't like it that way. Draw it anyway. I've seen people draw with stars, and they're changing it around. Those angels over Baltimore told me to draw it in the clouds. Draw clouds. I happen to believe it's the best way because they told me to draw it that way. But if you want to draw points of stars or, you know, whatever, I don't care about that. But get an idea of this relationship and then ask for the changes to take place within the realms of that relationship. Our El Elyon, our Most High God, our possessor of heaven and earth, we know that you're interested in every person here, and we pray that tonight that we will be priests of the Most High God, that we will, each one of us, stand as candidates for the changes necessary, and that each one of us will make the mental ascent and the changes in all realms, spirit, soul, and body, in the times appointed for each person.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.